the Literary Corner Black Writers of the World, a series of analyses and interpretations of Black world literature. Today, an introduction to African poetry. I'm Brooks Robinson, and we'll explore the various phases in the development of African poetry, attempting to touch as much of the vast continent as we possibly can as we go along. As in all other genres in African English literature, and I must stress the African English part of it, a substantial body of accomplished African English poetry did not appear until the 1950s. This is not to say that African poetry did not exist until this time. Quite the contrary is actually the case. African poetry before the 1950s existed, however, but only in oral forms. And after the 1800s or 19th century, African poetry existed in languages besides English. Now, African oral poetry is as old as African civilizations and cultures themselves. And certainly one cannot consider African English, African French, or any other form of African poetry without considering the African oral poetry. Now, as far as African poetry in its oral forms is concerned, one sees basically three major themes. First, you have the theme of Africans and their gods. Ogun, Orinsala, Orunmila, Allah, all of the chiefs, and how man was related to the gods, the source of life. This was, and it still is, to a very great extent, a real concern or theme presented or projected in African poetry. Secondly, one can see in African oral poetry explanations on the roles that individuals should play in the very tightly knit African communal or tribal society. Poems on the chief's role, the warrior's role, the father's role, or the head of the clan, and even the roles of women and of children. And thirdly, we see the theme of the beautiful and sometimes the not-so-beautiful aspects of African culture, the customs, the elaborate weddings, funeral rites, and so on. All of this in African oral poetry. Clearly, the simplicity and clarity of African oral poetry accomplished what it was intended to accomplish, and many critics feel the same way about it, in that, as you have seen, African oral poetry acts as an explainer or as a definer and as a kind of record keeper. Now, this you will find true about most of oral literature in general. Now, when Africans finally started writing in the 19th century, it was primarily in non-English languages. However, the poetry that was written was primarily in European languages, i.e. French and Dutch and German. And outside of the of this realm, you had some poetry written in Arabic as well. Now, the most significant poetry of the non-English African poetry came out of the 1930s and 40s during what has since been called the Negritude movement. The major Negritude poets of that period were personalities like Aimé Césaire, Léon Tamás, Léopold Senghor, and David and Bihago Diop. The emphasis of the Negritude poets and the basis for that title as well was blackness. The Negritude poets rejected in every way European cultures and customs, just all aspects of life brought to Africa by the Europeans. The Negritude poets' major aim was to get Africans to turn away from and reject European cultural, educational, and even economic domination and revindicate African self-esteem. You'll note that the Negritude poets wrote about public kinds of concerns, Europeans, their politics, the European culture, the European customs, and all of this that the Negritude poets wanted the Africans to get away from. Now, the reason I made that point was because it's one of the major factors that separate the Negritude poets of the 30s and 40s from the African English poets that began to write in the 1950s. And the African English poets, you'll see, moved away, not totally from emphasizing the importance of blackness, but they moved away from the public kinds of concerns, and they dwelt more heavily on the individual, a kind of personalness about the poetry that the African English poets wrote. When one looks at African English poets specifically, one automatically looks into Western Africa, because simply the most significant African English poetry came out of Western Africa. From Nigeria, West Africa, as some of the major West African poets, you had Ole Soyinka, who's more famously or more popularly known as a dramatist, but he's a very fine poet as well. You had John Pepper Clark, Gabriel Okara, and so on. But probably the most important West African poet, and by most critics' estimates he is, it's Christopher Okigbu. As a prime example of African English poets dealing with the individual's concerns as opposed to the public concerns projected by the negritude of writers, Okigbo stands out dramatically. Okigbo is just very personal in his poetry, almost religiously so. And Okigbo is known for his concern with the spirituality of man, man's soul, his soul's development, his development and growth, and so on. So from A Prelude to the Limits, we'll allow you to hear and understand what I'm saying about Okigbu's personalness and spirituality in his poetry, as you'll hear Prelude to the Limit.
An image insists from the flagpole of my heart. The image distracts with the cruelty of the rose. My lioness, wound me with your seaweed face. Blinded like a strong room, distances of your armpit fragrance turn chloroform. Enough for my patience. When you have finished and done up my stitches, wake me near the altar, and this poem will be finished.
Note the closeness of Okigbu's poetry. He begins with the word image. See the image closely. As he says it, the image insists from the flagpole of my heart. Very close, very personal poetry. And notice the reference to the altar. He says, wake me near the altar. The preoccupation almost with religion. Wake me at the altar, after the struggle to get there, after you have done up my stitches, he says, and the poem will be finished. Okigbu, very, very personal, an outstanding example of the personalness, the process of dealing with the individual with African English poet. A prime example, Christopher Okigbu, one of West Africa's major poets. East Africa, the home, some scientists say, of civilization itself, is noted for its oral poetry. But among African English poets, it ranks fairly high as well. Persons like John Mbiti, Shaban Robert, and Shelley Kibwana, these are very important East African or Eastern African poets. Because the East African English poets were developing in the midst of change, the move out of the colonialist, getting rid of them as they began to write, because of this whole this whole period, you find the Eastern African poets stressing this whole change in their poetry. Their concern with struggle is very apparent. Even insecurity, even though they have moved the colonialists out, they're still insecure about their culture, their society. And it's reflected in their work. As an example, here's a poem by the East African English poet Shaba Rabat, entitled Our Frame.
Our frame is poor, even when we are in security of our existence, of the world's grace and majesty and vanity. In this age of ours, so full of delusiveness and pomp and sacrifice, and at the time of death when life fails, a grave keeps us to cover rottenness, our bad smell. It is not man's habit to abide in purity, whatever his state may be.
In addition to the comments made before Shaban Roberts' Our Frame was read, I think I should note here, again, the individualness of the poem. Roberts speaks directly to the individual. It's consistent with much of African English poets. You find Shaban talking about our frame as a pluralistic kind of having a pluralistic connotation, yet he's really being very personal. He's talking to individuals. He's telling the individual, you know, our world, the world's grace and majesty and vanity in this age of ours. Here again, pluralistic, but he's talking to the individual, so full of delusiveness and pomp and sacrifice. And he seems to be trying to say to the reader that we should evaluate life individually. Even though we're here together collectively, let's evaluate life individually and see that we're not at all pure as our individuals, no matter what state we may be. Finally, a look into Southern African English poetry. As a result of the South African struggle over the past 10 to 15 years, you have this kind of great awakening, this mass of African, Southern African writers writing in a protest kind of form because of that struggle there. Poets writing in this vein, persons like L.D. Radiladi of Botswana, B.W. Vilakazi of South Africa, Vernon February of South Africa, Daniel Kunene of South Africa. But the most respected South or Southern African poet is probably Dennis Brutus. Brutus's poetry reflects the epitome of the protest found in other Southern African poetry writers. As an example, here's a poem from Brutus's work, one of his many volumes. We take this one from the volume called Poem. In this particular poem, Brutus talks about the suffering that the Southern African has to endure. But he adds the fact that among the native Southern Africans, the tenderness still survives.
Somehow we survive, and tenderness frustrated does not wither. Investigating searchlights rake our naked, unprotected contours. Boots clop on the peeling door, but somehow we survive. Severance, deprivation, loss, patrols uncoil along the asphalt dark, hissing like the menace to our lives. Most cruel, all our land is scarred with terror, rendered unlovely and unlovable, sundered away, and all our passionate surrender. But somehow, tenderness survives.
And again, in the Southern African English poetry, the element of the individual, the personalness of the poetry, even though we're experiencing all of these problems in our lives, we, yes, on a pluralistic level, we still have this tenderness, but still, individually, between us, I and you, we still allow tenderness to survive. And this personalness, this concern with the individual, seems to be the outstanding continuity factor in all of African English poetry. This has been the Literary Corner of Black Writers of the World, a series of analyses and interpretations of Black world literature. Today you've listened to an introduction to African English poetry. Technical assistance provided by Bob Cham. I'm Brooks Robinson. Readings done by Kwojo Yilkapala. The Literary Corner was made possible by funds from WHA Radio, Madison, Wisconsin, a service of the University of Wisconsin Extension.